What's up? Hey, what's going on? Thank you so much for joining me here today on The Chalene Show, where today my guest is Dr. Daniel Amen. He's a regular here on the show. I think this is probably like his seventh appearance. Today, though, we're specifically talking about mental illness, mental health, really. We're talking about depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, attention deficit disorder. We're talking about suicide, and we're talking about all of the things that you can do to prevent these things. We're also going to break down medications versus supplements, how to know if you've got the right diagnosis, what to do if you've been on medication for years and you'd love to be able to get off of it or try an alternative treatment. We're going to cover it all.
Welcome to The Chalene Show. Chalene is a New York Times bestselling author, celebrity fitness trainer, and obsessed with helping you live your dream life.
We are fortunate enough to be able to call Dr. Amen a friend of the show. Dr. Amen also happens to be a friend of Justin Bieber. Not that he would disclose that, but Justin Bieber himself recently came public about the fact that he's been treating at the Amen Clinic, specifically with Dr. Amen, for a misdiagnosis of bipolar and how he's been really focused on his mental wellness, which is a pretty popular story in the news. And it ties in perfectly with our conversation today because it just seems like there's no one better to talk to about this than Dr. Amen, in that his new book is entitled The End of Mental Illness. Now, he is the founder of the Amen Clinics, which is where I have been treating for my own brain health. It is where my father-in-law, Bob, is treating for his Alzheimer's, my husband, Brett, my own father is treated there. I've sent many colleagues there to have their brains scanned, and I just think he's the best. The Amen Clinics have done over 160,000 brain scans with patients from over 121 countries. That's incredibly impressive, especially when you consider most brain experts don't even look at the brain. They just ask a bunch of questions. Dr. Amen's research is prolific. He has been on countless PBS specials. He's written over 70 scientific articles, which have been published. He's one of the world's leading researchers on brain imaging and rehabilitation. He also has published over 10 New York Times best-selling books. His TED Talks have millions and millions of views, but he's got the receipts to prove it. He's a double board certified psychiatrist. Discover Magazine listed his brain imaging research as the top neuroscience study of the year. That was for 2015. And the Washington Post recently called Dr. Daniel Amen the most popular psychiatrist in America, and he's here to chat with us today. But before we get to that, I want to read my favorite review of the week. It just came in today. Today's review is from Caroline, or Carolyn. I think it's Caroline. Caroline R.D. She wrote, "Wow. This latest episode on investing that Brett took the lead on was incredible. As a wife, a mom, an entrepreneur, and someone who is in charge of the family's financial distribution every month, this episode finally gave me the information that I needed in a very easy, concise way for me to understand. My husband and I want to invest, but aside from his retirement fund through work, we didn't have anything else set up. I now know exactly where to stick that money that we wanted to invest. I cannot wait for my husband to listen to this episode. Goodbye to my measly interest rate from BOA. Thank you, Brett, so much. I loved this episode." Caroline, thank you so much for your review. As always, if your review is read here on the show, you get to check the show notes. We have something special for you. If you haven't yet listened to that episode, it was the episode just prior to this one. It was on Monday. And Brett broke down in the most simplistic of terms the Dow, the S&P 500, NASDAQ, and how to start investing. Now, if those terms are like, oh gosh, I'm not even interested, those are terms I don't know anything about, I don't have any money to invest at the moment, he talked about what to do if you don't have any money to invest and how to get your money to start making you money and why it's not the best idea to have your money in a savings account. This episode was fire. I'm not even joking. People, my girlfriends are blowing up my phone over this episode. So go back and listen to the episode just previous to this one. Dr. Amen, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about this very important topic.
Thanks so much for having me on and helping me and letting me see your brain better. It always makes me happy.
It's great to have a go-to expert, someone who's at my fingertips. You've helped our family and so many of our friends and so many associates who we've been able to send to your clinics. And now to have you on the show to be able to help hundreds of thousands of people is pretty remarkable. And you're the brain guy, right? Like, you're the person who we talk to when it comes to our brain health. I'm curious, why is the focus of this new book on mental health or mental illness?
Well, by training, I'm a psychiatrist, and I'm both adult and a child psychiatrist. And when we started looking at the brain 30 years ago, it just became really clear these aren't mental health issues at all. They're brain health issues mm-hmm. that steal your mind. So that's how I became the brain guy. But my training really is in things like anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, ADHD, addiction, schizophrenia. And it's time that someone says that most psychiatrists are working on an outdated paradigm that hurts people by making diagnoses based on symptom clusters with no biological data. That's just insane. And so the end of mental illness is really, we need to change a paradigm. These are not mental health issues. They are brain health issues. And that one idea changes everything. Get your brain right and your mind follows.
Maybe that's my more specific question is, most of your books have had the term brain in the title. Brain makes us, we like that term. We all want to think about our brain health. That all sounds so positive and we embrace that. Why are we so afraid of terms like mental health? And, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit more, but, and why did you choose to use the term mental illness in your title?
Well, because I think we just have to go after this current paradigm. And mental illness is becoming a bit of a fad. There are a lot of celebrities out, you know, I have mental illness. And I'm like, no, you have a brain health issue. And I'm in a new docuseries with Justin Bieber. And Justin, I've been his doctor for the last 5 years. And things changed for him when he came into my office. And he said, my brain can have problems just like my heart can have problems. If I had heart problems, I'd do everything you told me. Mm-hmm. He said, start doing everything you tell me. And I love that because he really got it. He wasn't struggling with a mental illness, although he'd been diagnosed by someone else with bipolar disorder and put on lithium. And I'm like, no, he didn't have bipolar disorder when I looked at his brain. And lithium wasn't the right treatment. Now, I'm not opposed to medication. I mean, I absolutely use it when it's appropriate. But to do it without any biological basis, based on a clinical interview, it just didn't make any sense to me.
Isn't that the norm today? Aren't most people who've been diagnosed with bipolar, maybe you know statistically what percentage of them have actually had that organ looked at? Or is it, as you've just suggested, they're in an office, the doctor's asking them some questions, and they're like, oh, yeah, you've got bipolar. Let's put you on this medication.
More than 99% of the time, no one looks at their brain. It's why I take this on in the book, because when you look, you realize, oh, it could be head trauma, or it could be toxic exposure. Or in Justin's case, he had antibodies that were attacking the dopamine receptors in his brain. And he had Epstein-Barr, and he had exposure to Lyme. I mean, there are all these factors that when we get his brain right, then his marriage is better. His music is better. His money is better. Because, you know, ultimately, all of those things come down to the decisions you make, which is a brain function.
Explain, if you will, the difference between the brain and the mind.
So what most people are not clear on, your brain creates your mind. That when your brain is damaged, your mind changes. Your mind goes to a darker place. And one of the things you and I have talked about before is Alzheimer's disease. Mm-hmm. And with Alzheimer's disease, we can actually see evidence of it 20 years before people have any symptoms. And they also get negative thinking patterns associated with it. But when you balance someone's brain, their mind is so much happier, healthier, more effective. And so we just have to be really clear that your brain creates your mind. And when the mind is not right, it's often there's a brain issue.
Well, we're going to talk about some of the changes that you are a champion for when it comes to treating mental health. But before we do, what are some of the biggest mistakes you think that people make when they know that something's not right and they are looking for a diagnosis? What are some of the biggest mistakes people are making, or maybe better asked, what are some of the things we should be doing?
Well, I think the biggest mistake is 85% of psychiatric drugs are prescribed by non-psychiatric physicians in 7-minute office visits. Think about that.
Yeah.
And these medications are not innocuous. Virtually all of them have black box warnings, meaning they can hurt people. And they're generally prescribed without any biological information. And so big things are missed, like the chronic effects of traumatic brain injury, or infections, or toxic exposure like mold. And no one's thinking about brain healthy habits, diet, exercise, supplementation, learning how to believe every stupid thing you think. So wholesale, 23% of women between the ages of 20 and 60 are on antidepressant medication. Think about that. Between the ages of 20 and 60 are on antidepressant medication. Something's the matter with that picture. When head-to-head against antidepressants, exercise has been found to be equally effective. Omega-3 fatty acids have been found to be equally effective. Learning how to not believe every stupid thing you think, equally effective. So why not exercise, take fish oil, discipline your mind? Those things can all be so helpful. But we're in this society where there's a pill for every ill. They're advertised on television nonstop, and people want the quick fix rather than something that will last.
I've heard you say that the bipolar diagnosis is like the hot new trendy celebrity must-have diagnosis these days. Like, why has this become trendy, it seems, lately?
Well, because people don't know why they have temper problems, why they can't sleep, why their mind goes fast. And bipolar is a real thing for people who have it. I think maybe about 30% of people who are diagnosed actually have it. And bipolar disorder is where generally you're fine, and then you go through cycles, either of depression or mania. Mania is where you don't need to sleep, your thoughts go fast, you can become hypersexual, hyper-religious, spend money you don't have, and then you cycle back to either normal or depressed. But just when someone has mood instability, irritability, temper problems, it's often because of the car accident that they had, the whiplash injury or the fall down the stairs or the contact sport they played in high school where they had multiple concussions and it damaged a part of their brain called the temporal lobes. And when you balance them, their mood's better. That's not bipolar disorder. But if you don't look, you don't really get a sense it could be something else.
So does bipolar disorder show up differently on a SPECT scan?
It does. It typically shows up as excessive activity, especially during a manic episode. And it's really helpful to know, is your brain working too hard or not hard enough?
So just out of curiosity, because a lot of my family members have also had their brains scanned at the Amen Clinic. Do you need to scan someone while they're in a high or a low? Or can you just see this, you know, in the traditional way that you would say to test my brain?
So it's better to get them when they're in a state. So we see this is how their brain changes.
Do you think that's why a lot of people are afraid to seek help, to look for answers because they don't want to know what's going on?
Well, they don't want a mental illness because of the stigma associated with it. It is shaming. It insidiously stains people. They look at you like you're bad or weird or indifferent. But if we just get rid of the term and go, okay, these are brain health issues, everybody's a better brain.
How do we do that? How do we get society to stop using that term, mental illness?
Well, we tell the truth and we call these things what they really are, which is brain health issues that steal your mind. So depression is not a weak will. It's often because you have too little activity, especially in the left front side of your brain. And, you know, when we stimulate it, people get better. So everybody wants optimal heart health. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants, you know, to have lungs that can give them the maximum efficiency. Everyone wants a liver that'll detoxify their body. Everybody wants beautiful skin that's attractive and that works right. But nobody thinks about their brain because you can't see it, right? I mean, you can see wrinkles in your skin or the fat around your belly, and you can do something when you're unhappy with it. But because nobody ever looks at the brain, nobody cares. Mm. And I think that's why I'm on the earth, so that I can get people to start caring about this incredible organ.
Well, I think you're making a pretty big difference, because I certainly have noticed a huge, and I'm sure you have too, a huge uptick in the last 5 years, everyone talking about like the term brain fog. You hear that constantly, which means at least people are thinking about their brains. You hear people talking about brain health. And I think, you know, that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you. It seems like things like, you know, attention deficit disorder and post-traumatic stress disorder and ADHD and bipolar disorders, addictions, depression, anxiety. We hear people talking about these a lot more. Are they on the rise as a society, or are we just becoming more aware?
Since 1999, suicide has increased 33%, while cancer has declined 27%. Why? Working on the wrong paradigm. These are not mental health issues. I mean, just think of it. Teenagers who sleep on average an hour less than their peers have a higher incidence of depression and suicide.
Will you say that again slowly? Because parents need to consider this. I know this is hard, but when you're letting your kids go to sleep with their phones and on their devices, they're losing that sleep. Well, can you share that statistic again? Because I want everyone to sit up and listen closely and hear this.
Teenagers who sleep on average an hour less than their peers have a higher incidence of depression and suicide.
It's such a simple thing for us to fix. Just that. I mean, we can't fix everything. We can't control everything. But just making sure that our kids have the right environment to get enough sleep and to stop trying to be their friends and doing what their friends' parents are letting them do and just making sure they have better sleep habits. It's huge.
In the book, there's a writing device that says, if I was an evil ruler and I wanted to create mental illness in America, what would I do? There's 62 evil ruler strategies in the book. And one of them you just said, it's let your children have gadgets that are trying to steal their mind share and don't properly supervise them. And so we have to be so careful with what our society is throwing at us, from the negative news cycles to the terrible food to the gadgets. And we just have to be more thoughtful, which is why Tana and I do a podcast called The Brain Warrior's Way, because we think you're in a war for the health of your brain. Everywhere you go, you know this. Someone's trying to shove bad food down your throat that will kill you early. And we have to be more thoughtful, especially as we see this epidemic rise, not only of obesity, diabetes, but also of depression and bipolar disorder, ADHD, and addictions.
A moment ago, you mentioned that, I think you said between 90 and 95% of those who are being diagnosed with bipolar disorder are going to someone who's not actually looking at the brain. They're just asking them a series of questions a 7-minute consultation in a very busy doctor's office. What would your recommendation be for someone who knows that they're something's going on in their brain and they want to get a proper diagnosis? Where do they go?
Well, I have 8 clinics around the country. You know, it's one of the reasons we expanded, because we realized if we're going to disrupt how psychiatric medicine is practiced, that we need to have a footprint. But we're not the only ones.
Where are your 8 clinics?
So Southern California, we have one in Orange County, which is where I hang out most of the time. One in Encino, just north of LA. One in Walnut Creek in the Bay Area. Bellevue, Washington, next to Seattle. Mm-hmm. Chicago, Manhattan in New York City. Washington, D.C., and Atlanta.
I didn't realize you had so many clinics. It's really phenomenal. So while we're here, we might as well tell people you can go to amenclinics.com. But for those people who are like, I just want to know first steps to figure out what I can be doing from a lifestyle standpoint, perhaps first, because I know that's really important to you. What things should we be doing in terms of our brain health that will help our mental health?
So in the book, besides the evil ruler and good ruler strategies, I have a whole bunch of tiny habits. So what's the smallest thing you can do today that will make the biggest difference? Mm-hmm. And mother tiny habit, the most important one, is when you go to do something today, ask yourself, is this good for my brain or bad for it? And you and I mean, we could come up with 100 things right now and we would get virtually all of them right. Is this good? And second graders generally know, right? If you say ice cream, they'll go, probably bad. If you went broccoli, they probably go, oh, probably good. The only one the second graders miss is orange juice, which they put in the good category when it really in the bad category, because it's way too much sugar. And unwrapped fruit juice turns toxic in your body and can actually give you fatty liver disease. So knowing, and I go in great detail in the book of, you know, so what's good for my brain and what's bad for it.
Right.
And I have this cool mnemonic I like called Bright Minds.
Yes.
And it goes through the 11 major risk factors that steal your mind. And what I say in this book, it's got 1,084 references in it. So it's the best reference thing I ever did, because I went, put a big title on it, you better back it up. But it's also written at a 6th grade level. I actually put the manuscript through a writing program and I go, so what level am I writing at? Because I want it to be easy. I want it to be simple. And it's not hard. You just have to know the things to do and the things not to do. Mm-hmm. And as you know, eating healthy is delicious. That eating healthy actually turns on your taste buds. So an orange, for example, I had actually a tangerine last night, explodes with flavor in your mouth because you haven't deadened it with the cupcakes that over time.
That hyper palatability.
Right.
And so many of, you know, the 11 Bright Mind risk factors that you go over in the book, you know, it really does boil down to habits. Even if you go to elementary school, most kids know what's good for them and what's bad for them. How do we get people to adopt these habits? It's like, I know this is better for me. I know what I need to do, but my motivation and discipline wanes. How do we get people to take this stuff more seriously and develop habits around them?
It starts with love. And that's what people don't understand. The doing the right thing is because you love yourself. You love your spouse. You love your children. You love your mission. You love your money. And we have a high school course called Brain Thrive by 25 that we actually studied in 16 schools. I mean, we've had thousands of people take this course. Decreases drug, alcohol, and tobacco use, decreases depression, and improves self-esteem. Why? We don't start with, you know, do this, don't do that. We start with your brain's involved in everything you do, how you think, feel, how you act, how you get along with other people. Your brain is the organ of intelligence, character, personality, and every single decision you make. And when your brain works right, you work right. And when your brain is troubled, you have trouble in your life. So it has to start with, this is an important organ. And there's a term I developed many years ago called brain envy. You have to have a better brain. Freud was wrong. He was like 2.5 feet too low in people's bodies. It's like, no, it's your brain that matters more than anything else. And when we get kids to fall in love with their brains, they treat it better. It's like, this is the real reason not to use drugs. They damage your brain. This is the real reason not to be overweight. It damages your brain. So it starts with love of your brain, which is really love of the most important part of you. And it's fun in the course, you know, we go over, you know, these things are good for your brain, these things are bad for your brain. And invariably, a 14-year-old boy, always a boy, never a girl, raises his hand and go, well, how can you have any fun? And so we play a game with the kids called Who Has More Fun? The kid with the good brain or the kid with the bad brain? Who gets the girl and gets to keep her because he doesn't act like a jerk? The kid with the good brain. Who gets into the college he or she wants to get into? Who has more trust, more freedom from their parents because they have consistent behavior? It's the kid with the good brain. And, you know, who ultimately makes the most money, has the most meaning and purpose. I mean, you live the message. And, you know, as you and I age together, we're still doing what we love doing with vigor, with energy, with purpose.
Heck yeah.
I don't feel deprived one bit. In fact, Drew Carey, the comedian, said it best. Eating crappy food isn't a reward.
That's true.
Which is why I don't look forward to cheat days. I think cheat days are stupid.
I do too.
If you were a sex addict, you'd really have cheat days. If you were an alcoholic, you'd have cheat days. If you were a smoker, you'd have cheat days. It just sounds stupid.
Yeah. Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace. Talkspace is a way for you to conveniently and in a very affordable way make lasting change in your life by working with a licensed therapist. Talkspace it's actually online therapy. The way Talkspace works is they will match you with a licensed therapist. I've done this myself. You go through a series of questions and prompts, actually quite a lot of them, because matching you with the right therapist really is what makes a huge difference. And they have thousands of licensed therapists trained in 40 different specialties. So no matter what it is you're dealing with, they probably have a licensed therapist who specializes in that area. And they're going to find the right person for you. Once you're matched up with your therapist, you just start. And it's pretty cool because you can actually text your therapist or send them an audio or pictures or video messages from your phone, which makes it super convenient. You don't have to drive anywhere. You don't have to, you know, sit in a waiting room or anything like that. It's bottom line, life can be hard, right? And Talkspace wants to give you another option, more support at a price that almost anyone can afford. So as a listener of The Chalene Show, you get $100 off of your first month with Talkspace. To match you with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com or just download the app. And then you want to make sure that you use the code Chalene, because that's going to get you $100 off your first month. And it's a wonderful way for you to show your support for the show and a wonderful way for some of you to experience therapy for the very first time. I encourage you to do this. Your mental health is more important than just about anything. Okay, again, that is Talkspace.com and enter the code Chalene for $100 off. Back to the show. Well, when we talk about treatment, you know, there are people who need something more than just something maybe more aggressive than approaching just all their lifestyle factors. And we are taking those things into consideration. But I know you have a probably rather surprising stance on nutraceuticals versus medical interventions. And so can you share with us the difference and how you think people should approach this?
You know, like I said earlier, I'm a classically trained psychiatrist. So I was basically trained to make diagnoses based on symptom clusters and then go with medication or psychotherapy or both. And then when I started looking at the brain in 1991 with a study called SPECT, I saw many of the medications I prescribed were toxic for brain function. And I'm like, oh, no. And I remember in medical school, they taught us first do no harm, use the least toxic, most effective treatments. And that's when I started studying supplements and nutraceuticals. And I mean, nutraceuticals is just, they're really supplements that have a pharmaceutical benefit to them. And I realized that omega-3 fatty acids head-to-head against Prozac was found to be more effective. SAMe, this has over 40 studies showing it has equal efficacy to a number of different antidepressants. My favorite one these days is saffron. That the spice saffron has been shown, it's over like 40 studies now, randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trials as effective as Prozac, Zoloft, Effexor, Imipramine. And oh, by the way, it helps PMS. And rather than the SSRIs like Prozac, Zoloft, and Lexapro, which can hurt your sexuality, they make it harder to have an orgasm, they can decrease libido, saffron is pro-sexual. And I don't like it when I give someone Lexapro and they go, you know, my wife's complaining, I don't want to have sex with them.
Yeah.
Because then they can get depressed and seriously get, then they can get divorced and then seriously get depressed. So I like natural ways. And of course, doctors, because they haven't studied it, will go, well, there's no science. And in that one chapter, there's 286 scientific references. And I go, okay, if you have an anxiety disorder, here are 13 things to do before you take Xanax. And if you have depression, here are 10 things to do before you take Prozac. And I'm not opposed to medicine. I prescribe it. It's just not the first thing I think about, because I don't think you have a Prozac deficiency or Ritalin deficiency. I want to optimize your brain. And then if you still need it, I'm really good with them. You know, I think our doctors here at Amen Clinics, we're really good with medication. Mm-hmm. It's just not the first thing we think about.
What effects do we know SSRIs have on gut health?
They can significantly alter gut health. Sometimes they'll give you diarrhea. Sometimes they're associated with irritable bowel syndrome. And sometimes they can really help, because when you're depressed, your gut is not going to be healthy. I mean, it can depress every system in your body.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I learned, though, when you look at the large scale studies with SSRIs, they work no better than placebo. Wow. It's a little horrifying when you think about this.
Yeah.
Now, I know for the right brain, they actually can be very helpful. The problem is people go, oh, you're depressed. And then it's a one size fits all treatment, which, you know, when you start looking at the brain, you just realize that's insane. And Tana's got a great example that I wrote about in Unleash the Power of the Female Brain, that when she was young, she got diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And part of the treatment was to take her off thyroid, at which point she got severely depressed, and they didn't warn her about it. It's a common reaction. And she went to a resident over at UC Irvine who put her on Prozac, and it lowered her anxiety. But all of a sudden, she's doing things that she never thought she would do. A guy invited her to Costa Rica on a whim, and she went. Was horrified. And, you know, after a couple of months, she goes, I'm not myself. I'm making bad decisions. And the doctor raised her medication, at which point she took herself off. Well, Tana has a sleepy brain. Her frontal lobes are sleepy. And what SSRIs do is they calm down activity in the brain. So if you start with a busy brain, well, that could be a good thing. But if you start with a sleepy brain, it can actually disinhibit you. And then you might end up doing things that you're ashamed of later on. When I started scanning people in 1991, there was a lot of controversy about Prozac, because there was a study from Harvard saying for a small group of people, it actually made them more aggressive. They either became more suicidal or homicidal. And at that time, I saw patients that I had put on Prozac that I had made much worse. And when I went and studied their brains, they had sleepy brains. And so how would I know that if I didn't, right? I mean, if I'm like, I'm not, you know, I used to say Karnak the Magnificent from Johnny Carson, for those of you that are as old as you know. It's like, why would I guess at, you know, well, I think this is going on in your brain when I could actually look?
Yeah. When we're talking about medications versus nutraceuticals and supplements, can you explain to our audience the difference, prescribed medications, nutraceuticals, and supplements? And do you consider nutraceuticals and supplements in the same category?
So I put nutraceuticals and high quality supplements
okay.
in the same category. And, you know, the benefit is, the first benefit is you never have to tell an insurance company you've taken them. But if you take psychiatric medications, it can decrease your ability to get health, life, long-term care, and disability insurance because they know you're at a higher risk. And it's not fair, but it does that.
Yeah, really.
The second benefit is they work when they're targeted properly, supplements. They're less expensive. They have dramatically fewer side effects. But supplements don't have no side effects. Mm-hmm. And so you need to know about them. St. John's Wort, for example, and I'm a huge fan of St. John's Wort, but it decreases the effectiveness of birth control pills. Oh, great. You're depressed. Take St. John's Wort. Now you're pregnant when you don't want to be. Bad idea. And most people's consultant is the teenage clerk at Walmart. Another bad idea. Mm-hmm. You really want to go to someone who specializes in this, and it's mostly not psychiatrists. So it could be a naturopath that really knows how to use natural ways to heal the brain.
And which dietary supplements to recommend, because the FDA doesn't regulate dietary supplements. So there are so many knockoffs on Amazon, even of the very reputable brands that you think you're buying a very reputable brand. You've got to be very careful, unfortunately, on sites like Amazon to make sure you're actually getting the top quality brand that you think that you're buying. But before that, you need to start by understanding what makes for a top grade supplement company. So what things should we be looking for when we're considering dietary supplements?
You're absolutely right. I've been fooled on Amazon a couple of times, which is really irritating.
Mm-hmm.
So you want a company that has been around a lot, that has not been sanctioned, that has therapeutic dosages of ingredients. So when it says proprietary blend, that means, you know, you don't know if it's a milligram or 10 milligrams.
It means we're not going to tell you.
It means we're not going to tell you. So I think transparency is very important. And for everybody, I recommend a multiple vitamin. Why? 90% of the population doesn't have 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. Mm-hmm. I think of it as insurance. There are rampant decreases in B vitamins, vitamin C, vitamin D. So a multiple vitamin, fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
According to a study from CDC, 97% of the population has suboptimal levels of omega-3 fatty acids. And then I think everybody listening to this podcast, you need to know your vitamin D level. D is in Daniel.
Right.
Just like you know your blood pressure. It's that important. People who have low levels of vitamin D, so normals between 30 and 100, those who are above 40 have half the risk of cancer of those who are under 20. And something like 70% of the population has low levels of vitamin D because the dermatologists won. They made us afraid of the sun.
Mm-hmm,
but we were made in the sun or evolved in the sun. However you want to look at it, the sun was really important to both our mental and physical health. And when you're deprived of the sun because of all the toxic sunscreen people are putting on, that can cause severe problems.
What advice do you have for someone who maybe has been taking SSRIs for years? They feel very dependent on them. Now maybe they're trying to counterbalance that with some other type of medication, but they feel so dependent on this. What are their first steps to consider exploring alternative treatment?
So work with someone you trust. This is really important. Just don't go off cold turkey. SSRIs are actually hard to go off because people have withdrawal symptoms. And many doctors told you that, one, this could affect your insurability, and two, once we start this, it's going to be hard to stop it. And so with me, my patients, I go through the 11 risk factors we talked about. I get their lifestyle really healthy, have them make sure they're taking a multiple vitamin, fish oil, optimizing their vitamin D. And then I'll go down really slowly. Like it may be 3 or 4 months that, you know, I'll decrease it by 10 or 25% and then just, you know, we'll go there for a while just to let their neurons adjust to that and then drop it down further. Mm. And then we actually have tests people can take online at brainhealthassessment.com, brainhealthassessment.com, where people can learn their type of brain and then, well, what are the supplements we recommend for that specific type? And so it's done thoughtfully, cautiously, all in the context of getting them to fall in love with their brain and take care of it. And a lot of times, just doing the right lifestyle things, you're sleeping right, you're eating right, you stop putting toxic products on your body, that people's moods get dramatically better.
Yeah. In your book, The End of Mental Illness, I just want to commend you for really devoting a complete chapter to the impact this has on everyone around you, not just your family, but your coworkers, the people who love you, your friends, that brain health issues don't just affect the person who's suffering from it. They affect everybody in the family. It's not just something that affects one person. It affects the entire family. And you actually offer some suggestions on how to go about supporting the family members. So can you share with us some of those magic phrases you talk about?
Well, one, if you want to support family members, you have to live the message.
What does that mean?
If you don't live in a brain healthy way, you really can't give it. And so one of our core values at Amen Clinics is authenticity, is we are a brain health company. And so if a pharmaceutical rep comes by with donuts, we just politely show them out and like say, look, come back and tell us what's new and great. You know, bring us a veggie tray. Tana's got all these cookbooks, you know, cook something from there and then come back. So if you don't live the message, you can't give it away. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just authenticity is so important. But sharing this information, people get so excited. They don't want a mental illness. They want a better brain, right? Yeah, nobody wants mental illness. Everybody wants a better brain. So begin to talk to them about that. Share that. I have a Facebook video that went viral and now has 40 million views. It's my passion story on why we look at the brain.
Yeah.
Where I have two talks that have about 13 million views, have, you know, share those and then say things like you mentioned magic phrases like, I'm here for you. I'll go with you. Let's do this together rather than you're the identified problem and it's because of you I suffer. You don't want to make people defensive. You want to give them hope.
Yeah. And I love that you reiterate the importance of commending people, like acknowledging the strength and how cool it is that smart people actually seek help. Smart people want to improve their brain. They're going to take care of their brain and do a checkup the same way they would a checkup for their teeth. Like, hopefully you think your brain is just as important as your teeth. It's crazy how we've, you know, we've spent so much money on diet and our appearance and a new purse and but we won't take the time to really figure out like, okay, how can I be living a better, fuller life and improve my brain health?
Yeah, no, I love that. You know, it's one of the reasons I love you because it's just so thoughtful, so helpful. You know, living in Newport Beach, people here just, they care more about their faces, their bellies and their butt, than their brain.
Yeah.
And that's insane. And if you really want to be attractive, have a better brain because you're going to be happier. You're going to be more thoughtful.
More confident.
More confident. The negative thoughts, the ants, I call them,
yeah.
They give you that frown, sad face that does not make you attractive. Plus, you know, one of the other cool things I learned, whatever's good for your brain is good for your skin. And so omega-3 fatty acids, for example, your hair is better. Your nails are stronger. And so, you know, I found you just have to go to wherever their motivation is and go, you know, with a better brain, you have better skin. And people like that.
Before we wrap this up, I wanted to ask you finally, if there's someone who I love very much and I know that they're suffering, it's not uncommon for that person to be in such a dark place that we're afraid to approach them. We're afraid of upsetting them further or making them feel worse. And, you know, maybe we've already tried tough love or we've been too tough. What advice do you have for someone who knows they need to help someone who's not in a state right now to help themselves or just not motivated to make a change? They're too deep in it, but we know they need help.
So I have a new public television special coming out early March. And there's a line in there that you just reminded me of, which is tough love works for people whose brains work right. That they sort of get it. And it doesn't work for people whose brains don't work right. Mm-hmm. And when you have somebody that's in a dark place and they're not really open and receptive, plant seeds and protect the relationship. Plant seeds and protect the relationship. Plant a seed. Oh, I heard a story of someone who had this issue, but did you know they had a head injury? And that when they helped their head injury, they were so much better. So
I see.
Personalizing it causes resistance. Don't go there again. I mean, pay attention to, you know, what works and what doesn't work. And in the book, I talk about people who tend to be argumentative and oppositional. Well, don't meet that with being argumentative or opposition, because that won't work.
Right.
You know, it's like use reverse psychology. It works for those people. It's like, oh, you know, I read this really cool book and you probably wouldn't want to read it. It's like, well, of course I'd want to read it. Or people are more receptive after you walking for 10 minutes. Or 15 minutes.
That is really so true.
And don't talk to them about anything important for about 10 minutes. But what exercise does is it pushes tryptophan into the brain, the amino acid precursor for serotonin. And you just notice people become more flexible.
Yep.
So do it after a walk or during a walk, and it can just be so helpful.
Well, Dr. Amen, thank you as always for sharing your wisdom with us. The book, people can order that now. You can do so through Amazon. The book is entitled The End of Mental Illness. And any place else where you might suggest that we visit?
Endofmentalillness.com. People, if they pre-order the book, they can actually get all sorts of gifts, including a live class that Tan and I did together, one of her cookbooks, the 10-Day Brain Boost. They can watch for free 6 of my national public television specials.
Wow.
So endofmentalillness.com. To learn about our clinics, they can go to amenclinics.com as well. And I just want to tell you how grateful I am for our relationship and for you helping me spread the word about this new book.
Aw, well, Chalene Show listeners love having you on the show. They always rave about your episodes and refer back to them.
Thanks so much.
My pleasure. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I want to share with you an opportunity to work with myself and my husband, Brett. As you know, if you are a regular listener of the Chalene Show or you follow me on social media, like, family is central to everything that I do. It's how I have lived my life. It's how I've built my career, how we've kept our marriage together. That's been our central focus. It's one of the reasons why I created a journal that would help me to align my life in such a way that I could accomplish all the things that I wanted to do, things that made me feel purpose-driven, made us feel purpose-driven, allowed us to build our business, to do so in such a way that we were able to honor our family. And we've heard from so many of you that you struggle in that area. And that's why we are offering a coaching program that isn't for everybody. Brett and I have decided we want to work with those of you who are go-getters. This doesn't necessarily mean you're a business owner. It means that you have things you want to accomplish. You have goals that you want to master. You want to do something more, but at the same time, you struggle with how to balance that with family. So we're doing something called Push Goal Coaching. You can learn more about it by going to pushgoalcoaching, that's hard to say, .com. I can't promise you, based on the time or when you're listening to this, that it will be available. We're going to do 30-day coaching sessions. It is a new adventure for us. We've been doing this privately for years, but it's something we realize there's a need for others, something we wanted to make very affordable because this is, we believe, our purpose. We believe we've really figured out a way to do it, and we want to help others by sharing our systems, by sharing how we were able and continue to this day, honor our family and still master our goals, but do so with family in mind. So if that's you, if you are a family-oriented person and you're also interested in goal setting and goal mastery, if you're planning on starting a family and you want to know how to set yourself up for success now, this is for you. We've priced it affordably under $200 for 30 days of virtual coaching with myself and my husband. To learn more, please go to pushgoalcoaching.com.